Every Four. That's right. Sponsored by Crime Stoppers. Subic 1-800-220-TIPS. 220-8477. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where all calls are kept anonymous. One for reward issued, $5,000. Could be more. For information that would lead to an arrest, Joe Jacklin, of course, retired sergeant NYPD. Former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's a current adjunct professor at John Jay College and author of the bestseller Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide for New Investigators, third edition. Also a highly, highly decorated member of the NYPD back in the day. And, of course, that would include the most notable Department Medal of Valor. Joseph, how are you? Good morning, Sarge. Everything okay?
Good. Good morning, Jay. Yeah, I'm fine. How are you?
All is good, my friend. We got a chock full of stuff to go over here. Good job on your end. You sent me the bill that they are looking up in Albany right now. We had Senator Alexis White on yesterday. I was in contact with Phil Boyle, kind of the architect here of this thing. And it's all about, Joe, repeat offenders. It ensures them they will qualify for bail, pretrial detention, when the principal has been convicted of one or more misdemeanor or felony offenses. In talking to Senator White yesterday, cautiously optimistic. That's what you could say these days with one-party rule going on up there, sir. Who knows?
Yes, I mean, it's definitely cautiously optimistic. I don't think it's going to pass just because the architects behind all the bail reform and all the other reforms, this would go fly directly in the face of what they had just put out but hope is never a plan, but that's all we have right now, that some sanity returns to our politicians up in Albany.
It's tough when you have these DAs, it's the same old stuff, I mean, if you look at these DAs, Alvin Bragg's been in the news. We've been speaking about him ad nauseum with his wonderful agenda put forth to all of us as far as some of the crimes he will not prosecute. And again, we always say small stuff leads to big stuff. You know that better than anyone else. But, it's all in line with these DAs around the country. You can name them on one hand. Just a couple here I'll throw at you. Krasner, Philly, Bragg. We talk about Chester Boudin. You did a great op-ed piece. You mentioned Boudin out in San Fran. You get a guy like John Chisholm of Milwaukee. He's another all-star. Remember the guy, Daryl Brooks and Waukesha? As far as that parade? The $1,000, holding Brooks, a couple of weeks prior, the girlfriend and everything else. My goodness, Kim Fox, you want to throw her in the mix? I mean, it just goes on and on. It's from Chicago there, Krasner has mentioned Phil. I mean, it's just on and on. And Gaston, he's the leader, right? The king in L.A., George Gaston.
Yeah.
So, Joe, we get the picture here, right? These are all Soros guys, right? And gals. And funding and whatnot, it's despicable. But this is one of the leading causes of what we have to kind of go through as far as this is concerned. That's why, these debates and everything else, I agree with you. I don't think it has a snowball's chance as far as even getting passed. But somebody's got to pay a price come election time. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea by the senator to put it out there, because if it does get defeated and things continue to go the way they are, at least people can point to the fact and say, hey, listen, I tried to change it. One of the things that we haven't seen is people meaning, politicians, fighting against this kind of stuff and saying, we need to change this. We need to go through it. There's not enough people being vocal as far as I'm concerned. And you know what, though, this morning we do have one less of those DAs, right? Baltimore. Marilyn Mosby got indicted in a federal indictment for lying to the FBI yesterday. So, that's one less. And hopefully Baltimore can get some sanity, too, because they have huge problems over there as well as all those other places that you named.
Point Joe just made, if you haven't heard, folks, the state attorney in Baltimore, Marilyn Mosby, that's the top prosecutor there, indicted on federal charges of perjury and filing false mortgage applications related to her purchase of a couple of Florida vacation homes. She's a Democrat. She's been at it about 7 years, and this is what's happening here. But this is a woman who used the money she received toward down payments on vacation homes. Here we go, as far as that was concerned. So That's what's happening in Baltimore there. But you kind of get the picture as far as what we're talking about. Now, Ronnie Harrison sworn in as the commissioner this week, Joe, first black commissioner in Suffolk. We talked about him as far as making his way to Oak Beach right on New Year's Eve, talking about the investigation, talking about releasing that phone call portion of it, if it doesn't kind of impede the case. Had Ray Tierney on earlier in the week. They did have a conversation. So, you know, you kind of get a good feel here that the two big players, as far as if this case is going to be solved, they've got the communication lines open. Tierney said he has spoken with Harrison on it already. That's a good thing. And, you know, at least it's a start here. At least it's a start. We'll see what happens. But, you know, you have to be somewhat encouraged as far as the leadership going on here with this case now, Joe.
No, absolutely. I mean, at least they're talking, right? I never heard that happen in the last prior administrations here. So I think that's a step in the right direction. They do know one another. Rodney Harrison did an interview with Channel 11, and he had worked with Ray Tierney on gang cases going back a number of years ago, so they do have a relationship. And he's confident that they think he can solve it. But he also said something interesting, right, that all the talk about James Burke kind of really set things off in a different direction. So he said that speculation basically damaged the case even more, too. So I think it gives a little tidbit, a little taste of what's actually going to happen in this investigation.
But at least it's encouraged. Listen, they've given you more in the first 12 days of the year than we have had over the last 3 years, right? We had a DA who did nothing on it, okay? Nothing. Police commissioner, you know, held up a belt. You know, a county executive who has been dormant. And then all of a sudden, you got a police commissioner sworn in. You got a DA who's all business. And now, you know, it's unbelievable when you think about it, right? So let's see what happens. Let's keep the fingers crossed. Now, you sent me a piece, I'll tell you, and I spoke about this early in the week from the city. It's a tabloid, you know, or maybe it's just an online deal, you know, that really online talks about city stuff, right, Joe? And it was incredible regarding the numbers. You know, as far as those arrested and then rearrested, and it really kind of caught my eye, my friend, because, you know, the numbers were, you know, not accurate, but then you had an analysis done by this thing called the city, the data that was compiled by the State Office of Court Administration, Criminal Justice Services, and it's a higher rate than first given, right?
Well, it was, and then what happened was as the anger grew, the state pulled all the data back, and they redid numbers, and then they re-released the information on Monday, so it was like 10 days after that they did it. So everything is different now, so it's amazing to see exactly what happened, because people were actually sending this information out directly, you know, because that's one thing about social media, right? You can actually tag people, and they were sending it to Carl Hasty and saying, okay, do you have enough evidence now that bail reform is a failure? And I don't know if, you know, I believe in coincidences or not, but I mean, just to have all this information hit the media and then all of a sudden have to get pulled back by the state, I think is just a bad look. So we don't know exactly what is going on with that data, but I don't like what happened, that's for sure.
23% of those freed on supervised release, rearrested, felony charges, January 2020 through June of last year. 23%, okay? Number was altered somewhat. Also, data shows participants in supervised release are rearrested at an even higher rate regarding misdemeanor rearrests. They're factored in, 41%. And this is scary stuff, you know? And this is why, you know, you wonder when a guy like Hasty, right, Carl Hasty, the Speaker of the Assembly up there, and you have an Andrew Stewart Cousins, who's the leader of the Senate. You know, if they look at this stuff, you wonder what they're thinking, okay? I mean, how do you poo-poo this stuff? If you're a Mike Janaris, one of the lead architects, and really one of the lead architects, what are you thinking, okay? If you're Todd Kominsky, What are you thinking? You're right there with Janoris as far as getting this out there originally. What are you thinking is what I want to know. How does one go about their business by putting people in harm's way because of their flimsy policies? I just don't understand it, you know? It's hard for me to really fathom this. It's right there. The evidence is what more? You know, I always remember Janoris stating, this is all kind of a fabrication of the press. I have that quote in front of me at all times. That's what he said, okay? And I've asked him to come back on the show. He won't come on the show because he knows he's wrong. See, a lot of these people, they cringe when you talk about this stuff. They don't want to talk about it because I think deep down they know and they're just pandering. I don't know. It just baffles me how you let this stuff go. But it is what it is, Joe, right, with this stuff. I mean, there's nothing you could do about it.
Well, like I said, I don't know how some people sleep at night, let's put it that way, because there was always anecdotal evidence about recidivism. Any cop will tell you that there's recidivism. Recidivism is high. And, you know, people want to see numbers. Well, you got the numbers now, and the numbers aren't pretty. Even the revised numbers aren't pretty. Especially the supervisor elites, right? You know, people think, well, oh, so you're being supervised, and they're still, what's wrong with the supervisors? No, those are the people that are really bad, and those are the ones that are going to reoffend the most, simple as that. So supervised or not, people who are in that category tend to commit more crimes. That's just a fact. So, you know, I'm surprised that there isn't. It hasn't been any talk or any push or any movement to change this, and it really doesn't seem like the media wants to pick up on it either. So I don't know what's going on back there.
Keep talking about it, and that's the key right now. We got to keep talking about this stuff. I mean, that's the only way, and the way you make the change, okay, the way you make the change is when you go vote. You know, you get these people the hell out of office. I say it all the time. You know, that's the only way you make the change. We saw it in November. We're going to see it this November, and we're going to see it mid-year with midterms. That's how you make change.
Yeah,
and that's the only way, that's the only way you quell this stuff, Joe. You go to the polls and get them out. Go ahead.
If politicians, specifically on Long Island and upstate New York, didn't see what just happened in November, and they still aren't changing their ways, I mean, I believe most of them are going to find themselves on the unemployment line.
Pete King on with me the other day, the great congressman. He knows it. I mean, Armageddon is coming. So that's what it is. Hey, here's one for you. One of your favorite topics, Joe. Queens guy with a plea of guilty to a scheme by Long Island Railroad workers, stealing thousands of dollars in unearned overtime pay and covering up the crime. Frank Bisogna, the latest all-star added to the team. You know, it's unbelievable. Wire fraud joins a long list of guys. Let's name them. Why not? They're all-stars, right? Tom Caputo, John Nugent, Joseph Balestra, he was the latest guy. I've already pled guilty, by the way, to all this stuff. So, you know, here we go again with a guy who made about $272,000 as a tracker. Okay? So, what are you going to do? It happens. Keeps happening. Are we stopping it? I don't see it. These guys just keep going. I can't figure it out. How do you get away with this over the years? Nobody is watching here. It's unbelievable. Nobody's watching the store.
Well, let's just hope that this acts as somewhat of a deterrence. And you know, when you have somebody going off the charts in overtime, maybe you need to take a good hard look at it. I mean, this is like management 101, for crying out loud.
I don't understand it. You know, maybe somebody needs to get Yanaliba a new time clock, you know, for Christmas, your new chair. You know, Pat Foy is on vacation somewhere. But in essence, it is an absolute disaster the way the MTA has gone about their business with all of this stuff. I tell you, just never, never, never ends. I'll tell you, they're getting a lot of guns off the street. Nassau police, Joe, made a couple of gun arrests over the last few days. These are illegal guns. One was for a guy who didn't use his signal. That's the only way officers found this guy, where they found the gun inside the car. Both of these guys arrested without incident. But they have cleared a lot of illegal firearms off the streets. So far this year, we're only 10, 11 days in. So, in essence, they're making a lot of arrests lately, Joe.
Well, and that's somewhat of concern, because if you remember about a couple of months ago, we spoke about this, and I said that the gun violence in New York City that's rising is going to come out to Long Island eventually. And that's, you know, that's just natural progression, because all the guns and everything that flows through, basically flows through Manhattan and New York City into Long Island. And now we're starting to see it. I mean, we started seeing it last year, actually. I think Suffolk had a record, right, in that kind of stuff. So it's not a good harbinger of things to come. If they can't, if the politicians can't get their act together and start changing these things, we're going to see increased gun violence in New York City, and therefore we'll see increased gun violence on Long Island. It's just the bottom line. It's unfortunate that's what happens.
300% increase regarding the seizing of guns. It's incredible. And finally, you know, police in Utah investigating the incident. Remember the incident between Gabby Petito and then fiancé Brian Laundrie? They apparently came to the conclusion that they made several unintentional mistakes. This is according to the investigation. And if you remember the video and everything else, Gabby was pulled over, hysterical, and you know, it was stated that she slapped Laundrie, and you know, the cops were asking a lot of questions, told one to go one place, the other go to another place, when it was all said and done. But, you know, you're going to have some of this stuff come out now. Give me your take there as far as the Moab Police Department there back in the summer.
Well, I give the chief credit for outsourcing this investigation, right? So he didn't do it internally, because then it would have looked probably really bad. It's probably a small department. I don't know how many cops there are. But he went through an outside agency, and they did the investigation and basically found Moab at fault. And they basically said that, you know, this is the signs of domestic violence should have been recognized a lot sooner. And we did mention that when this was going on, that they dropped the ball on this. And, you know, and at this day and age, at the time when this happened in 2021, police departments know better how to handle domestic violence, and they should have done a much better job than they did it. And, you know, you can deal with the what-ifs, like, you know, if they would have done something, would she be alive? And, you know, probably. But the issue that comes down to is that it was, let's put it this way, the only discrepancy is lazy police work, right? They didn't want to go through the paperwork or what have you, but they should have had an arrest. It should have been made as simple as that. You can make an arrest on just about any domestic violence incident. And, you know, it's unfortunate that this had to go down this way.
No, you're right. They were a little lax over there in Moab, no question. Joe, good stuff. We'll keep an eye on things, the Sarge, and, of course, 1-800-220-TIPS, Crime Stoppers. Stay warm, my friend, and have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, Jay. Have a good one.